God has a ready word for us. Found in Matthew's gospel, the 7th chapter, and I just want to look at a tiny portion of verse number 22. But this scripture, to put it in full context, you'd have to go back to Matthew, the 5th chapter. At the start of this sermon. But God has a ready word for us today. And in that A portion of verse 22, the word of God says, many will say to me in that day. There ends the reading. God's holy word.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we thank you. Father, you are truly amazing.
Yes, he is.
And Father, I decrease right now. My spirit is excited.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Decrease, Father, decrease.
Yes, yes,
self right now.
Yes.
Your people need a word from you, Lord.
Yes.
Because, Lord, without a word from heaven, we will not make it.
Well. Yes.
We can't go forward. We can't go to the right or the left unless we hear from you.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, bodies need to be healed.
Yes.
So let us hear from you.
Yes.
Father, captives need to be set free, so let us hear from you. Father God, salvation is available, so let us hear from you. Move on the unbeliever's heart. Turn back, Father God. Bring us back into a stronger relationship with you. So, Father God, speak to us today. Speak to our hearts so that we might not err. Speak, Lord, that we may be encouraged. Speak, Lord, that your cross might be lifted high.
Yes, God.
And you draw all men unto you.
Yes,
we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Now let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my redeemer, my all in all. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
People of God said amen.
Amen.
And somebody shouted out, he's truly amazing.
He's truly amazing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Spirit of the Lord is in this place.
Hallelujah.
And he searches.
Thank you.
And he meets us right where we are. In our walk, in our lives. The word of God says simply, and many will say to me in that day. You would allow me to make a statement, and that statement simply is that day. That day. And if you need a hashtag, don't talk it if you're not going to walk it.
All right.
I'm glad we already shouted.
Yes. Amen.
Within the last 6 months, I don't know about anybody else, but I've been able to see God's fulfillment of his word right before my very eyes.
Yes.
I've seen the days that Paul was describing to his son in the ministry, Timothy, when he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And brother pastor, I see why the United States of America is not mentioned in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. I can see why we will cease being a world power and become of little relevance. Just look at what's happening. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, meaning having no self-control or restraint, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Turn away. Turn away. We're living in the most divided nation in the world. We can't agree on anything. Don't you know that's a far cry from a nation that was founded because they wanted to escape tyranny and exercise religious freedom in their lives? A nation that founded itself as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, has now become the most divided nation in the world. We are a long way from a nation that made this declaration. We give our heads and hearts to God and our country. One country, one language, one flag. My brothers and sisters, perilous times have come. But the saddest part about it is nobody seems to care. Destruction is knocking at the door, but nobody seems to care. This is the time when God's church needs to be shouting warnings from the wall like Habakkuk. But it seems like it's business as usual. You make a mockery out of a prayer service? We continue to hear God's word, but we don't put God's word in action. We continue to shout praises to God, but we can't lift our voices to warn the souls of men and women who are perishing. We continue to get moved by God until he puts dancing in our feet. But we can't use those same legs to go and do his will to the lost of this world. The preservation of this world was left in the hands of the church, not human government. The church is supposed to be the salt of the world that prevents moral and spiritual decay. But by the look of the world, our salt has lost its savor. Hope y'all don't mind.
Come on now.
I constantly ask myself the question, how can we have mega churches? How can we have churches on every corner? We have church on TV. We have church on the radio. We have church on the internet. We have conferences about church every week. We have retreats, and we have meetings after meeting after meeting, but how can we be at an all-time low in morality and debauchery? There's a serious problem with this picture. Something or someone is not telling the truth. Mr. Osborne, how can this be? Christianity is the largest religion in the world. 33% of the world is Christian. And with that many believers, it would seem like the world would be in a better shape. And especially our nation. Somebody's got to have this thing wrong. You can't have that many believers and have this much mess going on in the world. You can't have that many talking about heaven and have so much hell going on in the world. Something must have got lost in translation. Y'all help me now. Somebody must give an account for what has happened. It seems impossible for that many people to believe in Jesus Christ and the world being the shape that it's in. But in my confusion, as the Lord always does, he spoke to me and he told me that not just somebody must give an account for what has happened. He told me everybody who claims to be a Christian, a child of God, must give an account. Amen. The Lord told me that if you heard his word, then you're responsible to do his word. Amen. You can't just hear it without doing it.
Amen.
They go hand in hand.
Right.
Don't you know that's why today's text is of the utmost importance? And you pray, I won't be long. After giving the greatest sermon the world has ever heard, Jesus concludes his message with a strict warning to those who would follow him.
Yeah.
The gospel writer Matthew, that reformed IRS tax collector, records for us today the conclusion of Jesus' sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
This is the longest single message that Jesus had during his earthly ministry, and it covered three chapters within Matthew's gospel.
Uh-huh.
And brother pastor, some of us like to complain about how long we preach. Some got the audacity to complain. Jesus preached three chapters on a mountain. So they got hungry. Some have said that this message is the grand charter of the Commonwealth of Heaven. It's the blueprint for godly living in an ungodly world. Its scope starts with God's blessings of the kingdom of heaven, and it concludes with God's warning to those who would imitate being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, or what we so affectionately call the child of God.
Yeah.
Throughout this message, Jesus covers every subject that the citizens of the kingdom of heaven would need to know for prosperous and successful living in a cruel and evil world. Oh, y'all need to hear me now.
Yeah.
He outlines God's blessings in the Beatitudes. He covers kingdom responsibility by telling them that they must be the salt of the earth. He shows them how they must pray by giving them the example through the Lord's Prayer. He tells them how to keep their priorities in order by first seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and how everything else will be added unto them. He teaches them not to be hypocritical or hypercritical by judging others without taking a look at your own faults first. He tells them, before you look at that splinter in your brother's eye, you need to look at that 2x4 in your own eye. He tells them how to avoid disappointment in ministry by not casting your pearls before swine. He tells them that the wealth of the kingdom is theirs. All they got to do is ask, seek, and knock, and the doors will be open unto you. He tells them about all the good things that the Heavenly Father wants to give them. He tells them to always walk on straight street, because Broadway will lead to your destruction. He tells them to watch out for false prophets who dress up like sheep but are really ravenous wolves in sheep clothing. He tells them to judge a tree by the fruit it bears. Good trees bear good fruit, but corrupt trees bear evil fruit.
Yes, sir.
Then he concludes this great message with a warning about being wise or being foolish, about being real or being fake, about being genuine or being an imitation, about being a hearer but not a doer, by telling them that everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," to me on that day,
that's right,
will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says that after this message, the people were astonished at his doctrine because he taught them as one who spoke with authority, not like the scribes. My brothers and sisters, these are the teachings that the disciples held on to as they turned this world upside down. These are the teachings that allowed ordinary men to do an extraordinary work. These are the teachings that propelled the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the streets of Galilee all the way to the paved roads of the great Roman Empire and ultimately throughout the world. These are the teachings that turned unlearned, uneducated, no-account fishermen into mighty, powerful, prolific preachers of God who shook up the world. These are the teachings that allowed the disciples to stand when they were persecuted. These are the teachings that gave them boldness to speak truth to power. These are the teachings that allowed them to tear down tradition and rigid religious structure of institution. These are the teachings that allowed them to stand and withstand against the Pharisees, against the Sadducees, against the Herodians, against the philosophers of their day, against governors, against high priests, against kings, and even against Caesar himself. These are the teachings that allowed them to overcome all their fears and put joy in their hearts, even when they were facing imminent death. My brothers and sisters, the disciples changed the world with these teachings of the good news of Jesus and the kingdom of heaven because they didn't want to stand before Christ on that day and hear him say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." They took the words of Jesus serious. They weren't hearers. They were also doers.
Yes, sir.
They acted on what they heard, and don't you know the world is better off for it? They could stand before the Lord on that day and be welcomed into the kingdom because they were wise builders. And they built their houses on the rock of Jesus. And no storm in this world could tear their houses down.
Yeah.
Minister Judkins, I can only imagine how horrible this world would have been if the disciples didn't act on what they heard. I can only imagine how horrible my life would have been if the disciples just were pretenders and didn't act on what they heard. I can only imagine how horrible your lives would have been if the disciples acted like church folk and not Christians because they didn't act on what they heard. They didn't walk what they talked. They were in the church, but the church wasn't in them. Can you imagine if they didn't take the teachings of Christ seriously and acted like that day was never going to come? That they would have to stand before the Lord and give an account for their actions. If they didn't act on what they heard, there wouldn't have been a day of Pentecost. Because they would have just heard Jesus, but they wouldn't have gone to that upper room and waited for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine if they were never filled with the Holy Ghost? Don't you know Peter would have never preached that five-point sermon on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls would have been lost? Can you imagine if they were never filled with the Holy Ghost? They would have never preached Christ crucified, buried, resurrected, and soon coming again. Can you imagine if they were never filled with the Holy Ghost? they would have never told anybody about that Jesus story and how he left his home in glory and came down through 42 generations just to save a wretch like me. Can you imagine if they were never filled with the Holy Ghost? They would have never told anybody that he was born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Galilee. He preached in Capernaum. He gave sight to the blind, walking to the lame, raised the dead, healed the sick, set captives free, spoke to the winds and the waves, drove out demoniacs. And don't you know he saved a man like me? Can you imagine? If they were never filled with the Holy Ghost, they would have never told anybody that he was without sin. But he took on the sins of the world because he was about his Father's business of soul salvation. Can you imagine if they were never filled with the Holy Ghost? They would have never told anybody that he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. Can you imagine if they were never filled with the Holy Ghost? They would have never told anybody that he was tried and convicted of loving sinful man in the first degree. And he was sentenced to death on a cross at Calvary. Can you imagine if they were never filled with the Holy Ghost? They would have never told anybody that they crucified my Savior on lonesome Calvary. They hung him between two thieves. They stretched him high. They stretched him wide. And they suspended him between heaven and earth so that we could that he could bridge the gap for you and for me. Can you imagine if they were never filled with the Holy Ghost? They would have never told anybody how the sun refused to shine while the Son of God was shining on Calvary's cross. We would have never heard about how the earth was shaking and quaking as Jesus was reconciling sinful man to their heavenly Father. We would have never heard him forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. We would have never heard how he saved that thief because that thief said, "Remember me." We would have never heard how he made provision for his mother. We would have never heard how he finished the work of man's salvation and how he trusted in God when he commended his spirit back to his heavenly Father. When he gave up the ghost. If they were never filled with the Holy Ghost, we would have never heard how he was placed in a borrowed tomb and went to hell in my place for 3 days and for 3 nights. We would have never heard how he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. If they were never filled with the Holy Ghost, we would have never heard my favorite part of the Jesus story when over 2,000 years ago, early that Sunday morning, God raised Jesus from the grave with all power in his hands. We would have never heard that he's gone back to his Father in glory and he makes daily intercession for you and he makes it for me. We would have never heard that he's preparing a place for me in his Father's house. And don't you know, it's going to be mine, mine. It's going to be all mine. And nobody will ever be able to put me out. We can have life and have life more abundantly because the disciples walked what they talked. We have the hope of glory because the disciples not just heard the word, but were doers of the word. The world was made better because the disciples took Jesus seriously. And they knew that one of these old days, they were going to have to stand before the master on that day and give an account for themselves. My brothers and sisters, if you've been bought with a price, and the blood of Jesus is still working in your life, you owe it to God to act on what you've been taught. Apathy, and the indifference of idleness has our country and this world in utter chaos and confusion. But it's not too late to make a difference in this world. If you still have breath in your body, there's still time to walk out what you've been taught. I trust God, and I believe his word. I believe that there's still a remnant who love the Lord more than life itself. And you're willing to say so. Solid Rock. We've been given a mandate to live at the level of our entitlement, which means we must take our kingdom responsibilities seriously. We learned a long time ago, to whom much is given, much is required. It can't be business as usual, because things in this world are still getting worse. We must follow the example of the early disciples and be doers of the word and not just hearers thereof. Don't you know it's time to stir up the gift that God has placed inside of each and every one of you and engage the world with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? If you want to see change, then share Jesus. If you want to make a difference, then share Jesus. If you want to eradicate moral and spiritual decay, then share Jesus. If you want a better home, share Jesus. If you want your schools to be better, share Jesus. If you want your work environment to be better, share Jesus. If you want change in your neighborhood, share Jesus. If you want change in your city and ultimately the world, share Jesus. Because whether you realize it or not, that day is coming for each and every one of us. And we'll have to stand before the Master and give an account for ourselves. What do you want to hear him say on that day? It's rhetorical. Or ask yourself the question, if that day was today, and it just might be, what will you hear the Master tell you? Will it be well done? Or will it be depart from me? If there's some hesitation or consternation in your answer, then it's time to choose whom you're going to serve this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't just go to church. I am the church. I'm not a church folk. I'm not a Christian impersonator. I've been redeemed, and I don't mind saying so. I've been bought with a price, purchased by blood, and I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I know how to dress each day for the battle and put on my armor. I know how to put on my helmet of salvation. I know how to throw on my breastplate of righteousness. I know how to cover myself with a belt of truth. Put on the shield of faith and carry the sword of the Spirit and shod my feet with the gospel of peace. And don't you know the word of God is my war cry? When it gets too tight, I tell myself, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. When it gets too lean, I can tell myself I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When my enemies are around me, I say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When things just don't seem reasonable or I don't see how it's going to work out, I tell myself nothing is too hard for my God. And with God, all things are possible. And I know that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I know.
Yes.
I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. I know.
Yes.
That goodness and mercy, they're always going to follow me.
Yes.
For the rest of my life.
Yes.
I know that the Lord is my light and my salvation.
Yes.
Whom shall I fear?
Yes.
The Lord is the strength of my life.
Yes.
Of whom shall I be afraid?
Yes.
That's why I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways I acknowledge him, because all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. I know how to shout my war cry. My brothers and sisters, that day is coming for each and every one of us. That's why you must get right with God. And if you're not right with God, you need to do it right now, today. Not tomorrow, but today. Because only what you do for Christ will last. C.T. Studd said, there's only one life. It will soon be passed.
Well.
What's done for Christ only shall last.
Yeah.
He said, when I die, how happy I should be.
Yeah.
If the lamp of my life has been burnt out for thee.
Yeah.
You may not build great cathedrals, large or small.
Yes.
You can build skyscrapers grand and tall.
Yeah.
You may conquer all the failures of the past.
Yeah.
But my brothers and sisters, what only what you do for Christ will last. You may seek earthly power and fame. The world might be impressed by your great name. Soon the glories of this life will all be past. But only what you do for Christ will last. Though your enemies may control each hemisphere and your orbits in space cause men to cheer, your scientific knowledge may be vast, but only what you do for Christ will last. Though your songs and prayers are heard and praised by men, they've no meaning unless you've been born again.
Yeah.
Sinner, heed these words.
Yeah.
Don't let this harvest pass, for only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last.
Yes.
That day is coming. And what are you going to do on that day?